Welcome to the Build on Beauty podcast, where beauty is born skin deep. Now, here's your host, author, speaker, entrepreneur, Cornell Germain.
Thank you all so much for joining us here. We have a special guest with us. She has been featured on the Today Show, CNN, The Oprah Winfrey Show, to name a few. She is best-selling author, relationship expert, and professional love and life mentor. Please help me welcome Susan Winter. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cornell. Thanks a lot. Looking forward to speaking to you.
Yes, I am excited about this because this is something that I know our listeners want to hear, and I'm just curious myself. You deal with relationships, dating, and all aspects of love and life. And I just want to dive in with some questions. You deal with dating specifically on some level, and we understand with the time that the rules of courtship have changed tremendously over the last 15, 20 years. Because this show is geared towards empowering women, what can women do to adapt to that change of courtship?
Well, you might have noticed that the time frame for having sex has sped up immensely, and you might have noticed that having sex with a partner doesn't guarantee a relationship. I would suggest to your women to keep their integrity, keep their goals in mind, and keep their value. You know, you will be fooled more often than not. 20 years ago, as you mentioned, Cornell, you know, it might have been a rare case for a man to approach you and he would, you know, kind of be a player and not be serious. And so you have a physical experience, you think you're in a relationship and you discover that he has somebody else or that he was just never meaning to stick around. Nowadays, I think it's even more important to know what time frame is right for you, to know what you want in a relationship and be able to state it very clearly, to have your radar intact to, as best as you can, detect who is a serious candidate for your heart and one that is uncertain and just playing, because it is harder now to get into a relationship, but don't let this time period water down your value system, because there are good men out there, and they are looking for you. And so it just takes a lot of discrimination, and it takes a lot of knowing what your values are.
Now, how does a woman balance that? Because just as you stated, there are a lot of good men out there, but I think so many women in this day and time become so rigid in their approach to dating that it sometimes turns the guy off. You know, they come with all their requirements and all of their stipulations so soon because they're trying to feed and filter through all of the drama that they don't realize that they may have turned off a good man just by virtue of putting everything on the table a little prematurely. How should women approach that? What's the balance?
Well, I think it's not wrong to state what you are looking for. It's how you do it. You know, there's a way that you can present that information. It sounds threatening, and it sounds like I've got a million gates up, but don't even bother to try to get through to me. So a more natural guy who wants a relationship would be like, wow, she's too guarded. She's been really wounded. I don't think I want to deal with this one. I think it's how you say it. You know, when you first meet, if you want to be in a monogamous relationship, I think it's important that from your online profile to the first meeting, say, hey, you know, I like monogamy. That's my thing. So the guy has had a forewarning, but it's not as though you're not going to put him through a checklist. I know girls that did that. They would actually come with a sheet of paper and say, okay, have you ever been in jail? Are you in a relationship with somebody right now? Are you in a relationship with somebody who thinks they're in a relationship with you? So she actually had questions. You don't have to do it that way. But I think, you know, it is trial and error. Cornell, I wish I had a better working model.
Wow. So in still in the vein of relationships, let's talk about women who are in a relationship and maybe they're still having desires for their ex or on whatever level. First of all, let's identify how does a woman identify the fact that she's not quite over her ex, and what is she to do when she's in a relationship and she kind of realizes that?
Okay, so I'd say there are two aspects to that. One is that she could have a fantasy of what her, the best qualities of her ex. When we tend to hang on to an ex, oftentimes we have a myth about them. The most dangerous, I think, is the short-term honeymoon where the relationship has gone maybe 1, 2, 3 months, and then there's a breakup. What happens there is that a woman has not spent enough time to see who the guy is, so he is the idealized version. If she's had a breakup with somebody at that point, it's going to be hard for her to move on because she hasn't deconstructed the myth. She hasn't lived with him 10 years to watch him clip his toenails at the kitchen table. You know, she hasn't seen that side of him. So that woman may have a lingering attachment to a fantasy that she brings forward into new relationships, and she might be with a guy, and he's like, he doesn't match the fantasy of the guy that dumped her. So the most important thing that a woman has to do is identify what are the characteristics that made me fall in love with this man. Keep those. That is a recipe. It's like, okay, it's 1 tablespoon of salt and 1 tablespoon of sugar. Okay, I loved his personality. I love the fact that he supported my career and my dreams. You keep the factors that work, but you have to go back and do some homework around the ex to isolate why it didn't work. And until you take him off the pedestal, his memory can haunt your future. So it's important to deconstruct what he was and what you thought he was, and make that distinction.
That's good. That's really good. Wow. Now, jealousy is something that is big for a lot of women. And what I've found in my path and work that I do is a lot of women don't even identify it as jealousy. The behavior exhibits itself, but they don't realize it's really jealousy. They call it something else, or they try to reframe it into this thing that makes the other person the guilty party. But when it comes to jealousy in relationships, we've known in the past that there are women, you know, in previous generations who have been able to live with their husbands, remain in the family, knowing that he had another woman, but they made those boundaries. You know, in this day and age, we're seeing women that not only are they jealous of the potential other woman, maybe the secretary or whoever, but some of them are even jealous of the man's work, career, job, and in some cases, the children. I mean, sometimes they're even jealous of the relationship he has with his children. How can women approach, first of all, identify jealousy, you know, for what it is, and what can they do to help get over that hump in their relationship?
Got it. Really good point. There's founded and unfounded jealousy. And the woman's job is to figure out what is valid and what's invalid. So a founded jealousy or a valid jealousy is, you know, he's sniffing around. You see him taking the phone into the bathroom and telling you it's work. That is based on, you know, you've got clues that something's happening. So that is actually justifiable. Okay? You have a reason to be upset. Then there's unfounded jealousy. There could be jealousy of your imagination, that anyone you see you think is a threat, whether the gym is a threat because he might look good in the gym and you're afraid he's going to look more attracted to other women, or you're uncomfortable with him going to work and going on these business trips because you imagine that he's going to cheat on you. That is unfounded. And then you've got to know the man you've got. There are good men who just on principle don't do that. They don't. And so don't superimpose your fears and your past and your cultural, you know, stuff that you've absorbed, like, you know, a man does this. No, not all men do that. And then the way out of that to feel more secure, if you find that you're in this unfounded jealousy and that you're just nervous and scared about everything, you've got to keep investing in yourself, because somehow you have made this man his whatever he does more important than what you do with your own life, and that will make you more insecure. You know, if you're living your life waiting in bated breath till he calls you, till he comes home, checking where is he, you've lost yourself already. Somehow you've attached your entire being to his every move of his eyebrow or when he looks at you, and that's unhealthy for you. If your life is bigger and you're rich in your friends and in your career and your hobbies and living a life independent of him, one, you're going to be more attractive to him. Two, if something goes south, you're going to be able to say, gee, you know, I loved you, but I don't like what you're doing, so I'm not having this. And you'll have the courage to do that.
Hmm. Very true. Very true. You mentioned being more attractive to the man when you have a life that's rich. I totally agree with that because I, in the past, I've dated women who they were just, they might not have been just totally into just what I was doing, but they didn't have anything for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I noticed the difference in my attraction to them versus the women who I had to sometimes keep up with because they were on the move. They were in school. They were had a career. They had a nice group of network of friends. And the difference was night and day. You know, I was more interested in that woman because it's like, wow, she's doing this. She's doing that. What you doing today? You know, I'm baiting like a dog, you know, running after her, you know, trying to figure out what she's got going on versus the other woman who's just sitting at home, no interest, nothing to do, no conversation. That's a key point because men are attracted to the women that interest them, you know?
Absolutely. And Cornell, I really hope all your ladies heard that. That is so pivotal. See, that's what games are built on. But you're talking about organic, true value. You valued a woman who valued her life and was participating in her life. You had to work to get time with her. So she became a valuable commodity to you, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so what happens is a lot of games, and unfortunately some other coaches will tell a woman to act busy, don't take his phone call. But you're sitting there by the phone, letting it ring, and you're biting your fingernails like, oh, I'm going to look like I don't care. You know, the human animal is so wise on an intuitive level, on a spiritual level. Our internal accounting system is picking up everything, so you can be playing the game, oh, I'm busy tonight and sitting at home watching Netflix, but you know, when it's real, that's what's powerful. So the games are supposed to mirror what it's like to have real self-esteem. But, you know, that, so just remember that all game playing that your friends will tell you or they're like, oh, don't call him back for 2 days. Look like you're, if you're actually busy, there's an energy about that that you can call him back 2 hours later and say, I'm so sorry. Listen, I wanted to talk to you, but I'm really, really busy. Just know that I'm thinking about you. We got to get through this project at work. I'm going to try and call you on Wednesday. And you hang up the phone. That's more powerful than not talking to him for 2 days because it's real. And he will feel it as being real. And so, you know, just be aware. Always invest in yourself. It's the best gift you could give a man is to become the most incredible woman you came here to be. And that's for you. And then he's a recipient, you know, just by proxy because he's near you.
Let's talk about a few of your articles. I had a chance to filter through some of your articles, and I was impressed with many of them, but there are a few that I wanted to get you to expound upon. One of them was titled Confessions of a Lazy Lover. This was this was a good one. Expound on that concept for our listeners.
You know, there are times that I date voraciously and other times that I just don't. So I've had half of my life has been in partnership, and the other segments, I do a real time off. And I had dated bad boys on purpose because when I really went into this profession, I thought, great, I've had long-term committed, live together partnerships. I got nothing to say. I don't know how to talk to these girls that go out, get drunk, and hook up. I got nothing to say to them. So I explored the worst possible men in the world. And after a while with my research and, you know, me being me, I actually fell in love and created some relationships out of those impossible situations. I just got tired and I just kind of didn't want to do it anymore. And I knew it was odd and the writer in me was observing myself just not making an effort to try to date. And it's not like I wasn't down on men. I didn't hate men. I love men. And I didn't feel badly about myself. There was no organic reason to, you know, I just wanted a break, and that was okay. And I think it's okay to take a time out. Sometimes your body, your soul is a lot more in tune than you are, and you don't always have to be out there and available. If you need to take a break, take a break and honor it.
Very good. The next title I want to get into is Marriage a la Carte. And this one I really like, only because I know there are so many ideas of what marriage is traditionally. Yes. And this one, you dig into that. But tell us about this one, Marriage a la Carte.
So a friend of mine, a journalist, I get very close to the journalists I work with, and she gave some very good interviews, very fair, balanced interviews. And then we became friendly, and she invited me to her wedding and her engagement party and all that. And she took me aside, this young gal, and she said, "We're not going to be like other married people." And so it sparked Marriage a la Carte. I have been a proponent of creating your own relationship, meaning taking like a menu the things that you love that work for you and excluding the things that don't work, because a marriage is a very traditional model, and we tend to have cardboard cutouts. The husband does this, the wife does that, and when you come into, as modern people, come into a rigid structure, you're going to find that growth is not a part of security. You know, so security and predictability are what makes a marriage work, but they defy growth and challenge and adventure. And those are the reasons people break up and cheat. So let's craft what you want into your marriage. You have every right to do it. It's your pot of soup. You get to add the ingredients you want, and you and your partner get to exclude what you don't want. So your marriage is truly a la carte. It doesn't have to look like anybody else's. Whatever is right for the two of you should be agreed upon, and then understand that it's a living thing. It can be amended. We tried this. You know what? We don't like that. Let's try this and go back to the drawing board. That's how you keep your marriage alive and functioning and growing and keeping authentic to who you become and who your partner becomes and who you become together. So that's my two cents on evolved relationships.
That's very good, because I heard a couple not too long ago, they were talking about the domestic roles of a husband and wife and how they've even gotten so far as to, and it was kind of strange for their families to embrace, but he does a lot of the cooking and stuff that typically the woman would do, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And his family couldn't really embrace that, because isn't that her job to do this,
yeah,
and do that? And they were like, well, we're not into those gender roles within relationship. I enjoy cooking, and she doesn't really like it, so, hey, this is what we agreed upon, you know?
That's smart. Like, imagine, you've got a company, and you're great at doing bookkeeping, and your partner's great at doing the in-person, you know, handshaking. It's just smart. And I think whoever you interviewed is great for having thought that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One other article that I want to reference is The Big Secret Every Single Needs to Know. Now, I already knew this, and when I read it, I was like, thank you, somebody confirmed this. But tell us about that. What's the big secret?
You know, as I said, and it's great that you brought that up, when I'm in partnership, I love my mate, but there's some aspect of it where I kind of long to be single, because I kind of liked being alone, and maybe I don't want to go and visit his parents this weekend, and I don't feel like seeing the exhibit he wants to see, and I'm sure he feels the same way. So the funny thing that when you're single, you look at all these couples, and you're first, you know, you've got this social programming, I'm alone, they're all happy, why does everybody have somebody and I don't, life isn't fair. And the big secret that you don't know, and that so many people told me that were partnered when I was single, they said, oh my God, I'd give anything for your life. Don't get me wrong. I love my husband. I love my kids. I would love to wake up on Saturday when I want to. I would love to be able to just do what I want to do and not have to ask anybody else what they think about it. Eat the foods I want to eat. Watch the movies I want to watch. They're like, you don't realize the freedom you have. So it's the whole looking at the grass is greener on the other side. So if any of you ladies listening to this are feeling badly for yourself, remember when you've been in a relationship or listen to your friends that are in one, you don't always get to do what you want to do. You have this wonderful time of luxury where every moment it's just you. What do I want to do today? When you're in partnership, you compromise and you give up some things to achieve other things. So enjoy it, because that's the big secret. While you're envying them, they're actually envying you.
So true. And I want to ask you just personally, in reference to that article, do you think marriage is overrated. And I say that because in this generation that there are a lot of people who are now. There's one meme I saw somebody put up on their Instagram, and it made me realize that there are probably a lot of people that feel this way. And it said, "I don't want to be in a relationship. I want to be in a Range Rover." And with this idea of entrepreneurship and people chasing after an empire versus a marriage or a husband or a wife, is marriage overrated in this day?
Oh, wow, that's interesting. I think marriage has lost its allure for a lot of people. It was held up as the pinnacle of what one would achieve, that you're supposed to have this partnership. I think marriage throughout the world is valid and a good construct if you want to have kids. If you want to have kids, give them the legitimacy of it's just easier, just easier. And you've made a real commitment to your partner because you want to have a family. For those people that are older, that have already had their first marriage or that have had their kids, if you're seeing somebody, why do you need to be married? I don't understand why people get married in their 50s or their 40s. Why get married again? If you really, really want to, and that's a really important value to you, but it's kind of, I think it's got a bad rap because, you know, people don't want to be trapped in something. They want something that's alive and vibrant. They want to be there by choice, not because they have to be. So if marriage is a value that you hold dear, then you stay with it and explain to your partner why you need it. If marriage is not what you need, but you'd rather be with somebody and live with them, then that is your truth. Just know what you want. Because most European countries don't do this anymore. Actually, they do a lot of written agreements. There are living together agreements, like and in a relationship, you have to, in the northern countries, in Scandinavia, you have to write down, that, okay, we're living together, Bjorn, I'm living with you, Bjorn. That means you're responsible for half of our rent. And if we break up, you're going to have this. And so there's actual agreements that people come to, and I think it's sounds a little businessy, but I think it's kind of bright. It gets rid of a lot of problems.
True, and I'll just share this point of view. When it comes to relationship, because I told someone this not too long ago, from a man's perspective, the marriage idea is something I think every man desires or likes that idea. But I think what it is the expectation that comes from it. And what I've seen in my involvement is women, when you're dating them, they're just relaxed. Once you get to know them and things, you work through all the kinks or whatever, if there are any, it's just a friendship. It's a really fun, you go out, you hang, you do this. And the moment marriage comes into place, she now feels entitled. And there's all these expectations and all of this, you do this. And it becomes this thing that makes him feel like he's more in a job or it's more of a chore than actually the fun, loving relationship that he had before. So I was telling a lady, I said, you have to, if you can somehow maintain that energy of friendship throughout the marriage so that it's enjoyable for him and it's not, because I think all of the stuff that comes along with what women expect from a husband, men innately want to do that. They want to protect. They want to provide. They want to do that, whether they're married or not. But a lot of the entitlement and the unrealistic expectations that sometimes women put on the husband or the man is the very thing that I think makes them kind of be a little, maybe not. Maybe I'll just keep you as a friend. I've seen people date years and years, and he never marries them, but he's committed. He loves to be around her, but he doesn't want that commitment. And I think it's because he understands that it changes things. That's just my two cents. I'm not an expert like you, but just my two cents.
No. You hit it the nail on the head, because that is the argument. Whether we know it or not, anybody who's gotten married knows it feels different. And people look at you differently. They look at the ring on your finger and there's kind of a social acknowledgement. You put an engagement ring on your finger and watch the hatred of other women. I've seen women just storm away. We have this, it is a cardboard cutout, and no matter how we try to fight it, it's really kind of embedded in our thinking that people automatically step into those roles. It's so weird. The minute you have wife or husband attached to you, along with it comes these historical expectations, and that's what I understand what people are fighting against. That's why we have to talk about marriage a la carte, because we have to find our own identity in this construct. And so I'm a big believer in a lot of pre-marriage discussions, a lot of dating discussions about what do we want to build, what do we want to create. We are aware that the word husband or the word wife can come as a loaded series of expectations. And here's the other thing, your friends and your family, well, but he's your husband. Oh, my God, she's your wife. What do you mean she's out at a discotheque dancing with the girls? Oh, my God. You know, so they also pollute your thinking without meaning to, you know. So we have to be very careful of that, because that's what stops you from going into it, right?
Absolutely. Wow. And I don't want to paint the picture just for the listeners, because some women are very they believe in marriage, and I believe in it as well, and I'm sure you as well, because you've been married before. So we're not painting this picture that marriage is horrible, but we're just talking about the mentality of the individuals going into it and how to make it a successful union. Before we get out of here, I want to talk about some dating essentials for our ladies. Just off the top of your head, what are some key things, some must-haves that these ladies need in order to sustain a successful dating and possibly a committed relationship?
Well, start with the attitude of really being clear on what you want. And if you aren't clear on what you want, that's okay. You need to date to figure it out. You need a lot of I don't want this to finally come to an I want this. And as best as you can, explain what you like to your man that you're seeing. Men are beautiful, wonderful creatures. They want to please us, but they need a manual. Don't think he should know because he likes you, because he doesn't. Men are not telepathic. You have to tell them what you like. When they do something well, please reward them. Give them positive reinforcement to let them know they're on the right track, and nothing makes a man happier than you saying, you've made me so happy. Thank you for this. I appreciate this. You know, it's being appreciative of any good thing builds upon that. And if you think there's confusion in the dialogue or you guys have gone astray and you're missing each other, ask him to talk to you and try to listen not from an accusatory tone, but actually get information as to how you guys got off your communication, what you need to get back together, how do you define a word. You know, the word relationship has different meanings to different people. The word together, you have to really go over these things. Don't assume, you know, just really get detailed about what you want. And, you know, try to understand from his, try if you can make it so that your man has no fear of talking to you about when things go wrong, you will have a happy relationship.
Very good. Well, Susan, I appreciate you joining me here. I could talk more, but we'll have to go so we can come back, as my grandmother used to say.
I love that. But, grandma.
So I'll be in touch with you, and we'll definitely get more into some relationship stuff in the future. But thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Cornell. You've got a good message, and I hope the women listening really do hear what you're saying, because you're on the money.
Well, this has been the Build on Beauty podcast, where beauty is born skin deep. I'm your host, Cornell Germain. Until next time, let your soul be made whole. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Build on Beauty podcast. For more information about our host, please visit cornelljermain.com.